Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Welcome to On Driven on Joy 94.9, tonight with Hugh, Kafam and Alan. On tonight's programme we speak with Almir, born in Wales of a Jewish mixed background but who calls Brazil his home. He's involved in various aspects of multimedia in that country, from radio to television. Almir will tell us about his life, a life of Brazil and his bisexuality. He actually calls himself a Welsh-Brazilian Jew who practices Buddhism. So we have another great show coming up tonight on On Driven, so stay with us for the next hour here on Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9, this is Orange Ribbon with Alan, Kafam and Hugh. Our guest tonight is Almir, who lives and works in Brazil, although he comes from an interesting mixed family heritage. Because of his time difference between Melbourne and Brazil, we recorded the interview with Almir 10 a.m. Saturday morning, when it was 9 p.m. Friday evening in Brazil. We began by asking Almir to tell us something about his background.
Well, I was born in Cardiff, but never lived there. Left Cardiff and Wales when I was three.
Wales in the UK we're talking about.
Yeah.
Why were you born in Wales?
Well, I guess somebody was bragging and wild there.
But what's your family background? Are your parents Welsh?
Partially, yes.
Why is that funny, Almir?
What?
Why is that funny?
Because it's all kind of confused, because my family has no roots nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Despite we have a mix of nationalities, they never really compromised to any sort of national culture.
Okay,
and
so
I was brought up in that sort of environment. So far, I was born there. Lived there for a while, then went back, but this time to London for 2 or 3 years of high school.
Okay. And what nationality are your parents?
Well, I've got two. Supposedly, as I was born there, I have papers there. I have Welsh nationality and UK nationality and Brazilian, although I'm really active on the Brazilian nationality because it was my choice, actually.
Now, Almir, I picked up on the fact that you said that your parents have no roots. And, you know, personally, I feel that, you know, everyone needs a bit of roots going on in their life, you know. How does it feel when growing up with parents with no roots, you know? How do you feel about that?
Well, actually, I had some problems with that because sometimes I had problems with languages because I was always speaking two. And obviously, I ended up not speaking neither of them well enough. I was changing schools. But family-wise and the relationship with people and all, I never had any problem with that. I guess in a certain point, it gave me a very good capacity to adapt to what other people think without compromising my own thoughts. And that was quite nice. Obviously, I just understood that after a long time.
So tell us, when did you actually go back to Brazil and live there?
Well, I lived in Brazil first since I was little, at three, and ended up living in Rio up to 10. And then we spent about a couple of years in Israel, then back to Brazil, then off to Canada, and off to Luxembourg and back to Brazil. So I guess I chose Brazil basically because it meant my route, you see. As you talked, everybody needs roots.
Yes.
It was always the place I was coming back and going to.
You mentioned Israel. One of the things we haven't touched on yet is that you do have a Jewish background as well.
Yes.
Has that come from your mother's side, father's side, or both?
From my mother's side.
I see. So do you think of yourself, are you a traditional Jew, or are you not very actively involved in the Jewish heritage?
On the Jewish issues? No, not really. Religiously speaking, I do like the tradition, and I do have some of the religious habits and dates, but I'm not the kind of guy that goes to synagogues and stuff.
Tell us some of the, you know, the Jewish traditions that you practice.
Usually my favorite is the Yom Kippur, because of what it symbolizes. And usually when I have time and when I have a chance, I do the whole ritual, meaning fasting and all that kind of stuff.
Now, tell us, you did mention a little bit about Buddhism. Do you practice that?
Yeah, I actually love it.
How did you get into Buddhism?
How did I get there? Well, I never really had any religious seeking process, but I always like to study some sort of philosophical stuff in a practical sense. And Buddhism, for me, it's free of dogmas at most times, and incentivizes you to be more independent and more conscious about yourself, and about your likes and qualities and defects as well, you know, what you have good and what you have bad, and helps you to sort of balance your bad sides, because everybody has one, and that's why I like it, especially because it's quite mental, so it's a kind of work that you do with yourself, and you are very independent on that. So that's where I really cling to.
I don't know an awful lot about Buddhism, but what little I do know, I understand that it is relatively understanding of homosexuality. Is that your understanding?
Well, taking the countries that actually profess Buddhism, I don't see them so welcoming to homosexuality or bisexuality in itself. They're pretty much against sex in overall for other purposes than procreation, right? And for that, like two men together, two girls together, it doesn't procreate at all. So, which is basically my point with all religions. This urge for them to have us procreate in a biological sense, it's very intense. And I don't really feel that I have an obligation to have children, for instance. And that's why I like the philosophical side of Buddhism, but not on the devotional side. Because Buddhism has many, many, many facets and many sort of cults and subcults. So it really depends on what sort of Buddhism you're in, you know, because you can go to the Zen Buddhism, you can go to the Tao Buddhism, you can go for the Tibetan Buddhism, which is the one I like best, because it's the more mental, it's the more questioning, it's the more inner. But it always depends on your own necessity.
Do you have a Buddhist altar at home?
A good question here.
Oh, well, no, I have some symbols.
Yeah.
And that I carry with me. And usually they are sort of a concentrating focus for praying if I feel like, but not something that I have to kneel in front of it and all that kind of stuff. Not for me, although I have friends that have the altars at home and all, and they're very dedicated for that. But it doesn't match with my personality, this sort of dedication. I can be very keen and very loyal to the principles, but to the rituals, I'm not a very good person to trust on rituals, you know.
This is Orange Ribbon. You're with Gafam, Alan and Hugh tonight, and we're speaking with Elmia.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Joy 94.9, this is Orange Ribbon with Alan, Kafam and Hugh. And our guest tonight is coming all the way from Brazil. He's called Almir.
Almir is a very true bisexual. You know, Almir, we were talking earlier when we were off air what your definition of bisexuality is.
what my definition of sexuality
is. From your personal point of view?
Well, you see, as I said before, it's kind of difficult to define anything on me and for me, and I don't like definitions, so I go for what I feel. So I had very intense and very good relationships with either men and women, and I guess I was married to both sexes, and people I loved a lot, and people that are still my friends, and that we love each other a lot. We're not together because our walks of life took us to different ways. But it's like, it's not a matter of preference, it's a matter of connection. If you mean in a matter of having a relationship, you know. Attraction and sex in itself, by itself, can be done with anything attractive, including a tree if you want.
Oh, wow.
does that come from your Buddhism? Or?
Depends on what clings to you, you know.
Do you have a partner at the moment?
Not now.
Not now?
I made a vow to keep myself single for at least 5 years.
You know, Almir, a while ago, one of my friends is self-professed bisexual, and then she met this gay guy once, and she said to him that she's a bisexual, and then to which the gay guy responded and said, you know, that's such a cowardly way out. Do you ever encounter the kind of situation?
I mean, questioning myself on that matter, yes.
No. The general gay and lesbian community, perhaps can view.
Yeah. They always watch us as that because many of them, actually use. You know, when they are discovering themselves and when they are struggling with their outside identity, they always tend to have girlfriends or boyfriends. And the excuse of being bisexual is quite comfortable for them, you know, for not expressing themselves and for not making a choice, you know, or at least accepting the choice their heart and their body feel. But it's normal, I guess. And I think that there are a lot of people, especially straights, that have fantasies about menages and stuff. That have that sort of problem of not really knowing how to express what they really want. And expressing what we want, actually us finding what we want is something difficult. And assuming what we want is a bit more difficult.
Almir, could you just give us a little insight into the gay and lesbian scene in Brazil?
Oh, yeah.
You've been to New Zealand in the past, haven't you?
Yes.
So, compared with New Zealand and Australia, what is Brazil like?
Well, the environment is quite different because, you know, you guys there have a more homogeneous society, and here we have too much diversity.
Too much?
Too much.
How can it be too much? I think too much diversity.
Monetarily, you know, it's just like it's too much diversity, which for one sense is quite nice because it's a country that has a tendency to be tolerant, actually over tolerant to certain stages. So it's like as we have too much diversity, it's like regional diversity, like the country changes. From north to south, you have many different ways of behaving, many different ways of speaking, and that makes it quite difficult. But on the other hand, Brazil in itself, and I think the whole South America, it's quite permissive in a way, because it's just like if you're young and you experiment sex with a man, it doesn't really have any problem. So bisexuality in itself, it's not a problem. The problem starts mainly when you start to effeminate yourself, and especially when you start to transvestite, then you have a problem.
One of the things I find fascinating about Brazil, and based on what you're just saying, is that it's primarily a Roman Catholic country, and yet you seem to have this openness. There seems to be a contradiction there somehow.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it is. Mainly, Brazil has... Brazil is very spiritual and very shamanic, actually, in practice. So the Roman Catholic structure here came by colonization and not really by a choice. So it's something that people was told that it was nice to be in, and most of them profess themselves as Catholic, but... they are more into African cults, into superstitions, into native Indian culture and herbs and spirits of the trees and offering flowers to the sea and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know. I have seen Brazilian movies where they sacrifice animals. How true is that? You know, chicken being and the blood being used, you know, that kind of stuff. Only for movies.
Yeah,
sounds like witchcraft.
Yeah, because Almir just mentioned that, you know,
voodoo-like.
Yeah, voodoo. That's a word.
Yeah. Actually, I spent quite a lot of time, exploring that area, and it really depends. It happens, and it's not only chicken. It goes goats. It goes cows. It goes pigeons. Even cats.
Goodness.
What do you do with the cat?
I don't think we really want to.
I'm curious. What do you do with a cat? Because I'm curious.
It truly depends, you see, because it's just like, it comes from a cult that's very ancient.
Uh-huh.
And that's rooted in Africa. And it mainly believes that the gods are the forces of nature. And they manifest themselves in the world, through either some sort of natural force. So, blood, food, flowers, and stuff. Actually, there was a time I was in Hong Kong, and I was quite surprised, because I was there on the New Year's time, and I was walking around the streets and all, and I saw the same kind of stuff that they do here, not with the chicken, right? But it was common to be walking on the streets, and at certain points you would see oranges and rice, and it's a matter of symbolism, you know.
Mm-hmm. This is Orange Riven with Alan, Kafam, and Hugh.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Riven Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
This is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Alan, Kafam, and Hugh. And our guest this evening, all the way from Brazil, is Almir.
Now, Almir, earlier you made a call onto a fact that you said that, you know, despite the fact that Brazil being a very diverse and tolerant society, and you said that when people, men, start to feminize themselves, that's when you have a problem. I'm curious to explore that a bit more.
Yeah, it's just like they can understand and they can tolerate for you to profess yourself as a homosexual or bisexual or whatever, because they understand socially that whatever happens in your bedroom is your problem. So now that idea is very important. But when you speak about kissing on the streets, if you are a very effeminate guy, if you walk around and you giggle too much and all that kind of stuff, even the gay community of Brazil have a tendency to put you aside.
Okay.
So there's this image, or intended image, that you're supposed to be very masculine appearing. Is that right?
Yeah, you're supposed to be not really very masculine, but you're supposed to still be the man you're supposed to be.
So gender rules are very clear.
You're doing whatever you do in your bedroom.
Right. Let's just move on a little bit, because you did talk to us off-air about sexual tourism in Brazil.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about this?
Oh, yeah. We've trying to combat that, especially here in the city, because I live in Recife, which is a very old city in Brazil in the northeast region, and it's one of the poorest regions, and we have lots, especially from Europe, lots of tourism involving teenagers.
Right.
So there is at the same time, it doesn't really have a sex. It can be boys or girls.
Okay.
So prostitution for a while was quite high. And maybe it could be compared to what happens in the Philippines, and at certain points to what happens in Vietnam.
Oh, okay. What city do you live in, Amir?
Hsisi. Hsisi is up north. If you take a look on a map, it's up on the little curve of the map.
Okay.
And it's a 3.5 million people city, and with all together. But it has a very good characteristic because it's a very political city.
Right. Political city.
And very political city. And the gay, bisexual, and lesbian movement has gotten very good results in the means of getting the city hall people to work with laws and budget. And actually, the power is in Brazil itself. They listen to the gay demands, legally speaking, in a very open manner, although they don't want to discuss yet the gay marriage.
Okay.
Why is that?
Well, you see, it's just like their excuse. I don't know if it is a point or an excuse, but whatever. It's that the justice system, when activated or demanded by a person, it's able to give this person's demand what's just. And many gays, like, have already conquered alimony payments, you know, resident visa for partners from overseas, inheritance rights, all that kind of crap. They get it without being married.
Yeah, we've probably got similar status in Australia as well, I guess, but there certainly is a push here amongst some of the gay community for gay marriage as well, but I think that might be a little way off legally yet.
Yeah, what I see positive on that sense is that it forces people, actually, to assume themselves radically, you see, because it forces you to demand your right and to show your face for that, because usually here, what we had in 10 years ago was that you were homosexual, bisexual, whatever, but you were always, in a way, hiding it. And in this sense, convocating people to talk about it on the legal system and demand their rights on the legal system has changed a lot of behaviors and actually the politicians' position for that. Because we have transvestites that are mayors here in Brazil. We have here in the state province I live, openly gay mayor on a smaller city in the countryside. So whatever, when the person shows its own face, and it's there and it's open, and people communicate to the person, because you see, for a transvestite to get voted to be a mayor, and in Brazil we have 5 transvestites as mayors.
That's a huge number, you know, on there. But
I was astonished when I was researching myself.
So when the first transvestite person became a mayor, how did the country react? It must have been like a huge fanfare.
Well, not really, you see. They went like, well, the elections are open, and they got voted. So
Is that because there was a high gay and lesbian community, or was it just because the people really believed in what they stood for?
I guess it was because they really believed in what they spoke about, and the results of their administration have been well evaluated. They don't have the media, the national media attention too much, but here and there, they appear.
Okay. This is Orange Ribbon with Alan, Kafam and Hugh.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Alan, Kafam and Hugh, and our guest all the way from Brazil, Almir.
Mm-hmm, and a bit of beautiful accent as well, Amir. Amir, very quickly, just very briefly, you mentioned that you have several transvestites as mayors in several cities, but at the same time, earlier you mentioned that it's not okay to be a very effeminate man. I find that a bit contradictory. Could you please explain that to us very briefly?
Well, as I understand, I don't really know why it happens, but you know, like, effeminate men, I mean, the guys that they are in between being a man and being androgynous, and they get in the middle, and I guess people here get confused. So they rather have somebody to transform themselves totally or just be in act normal. Despite, because it's like some people are effeminate because they are. It doesn't really matter that they are gay or it doesn't really say that they are gay. I have friends that are straight and are effeminate. But anyway, it's just like people react here.
Now, Almir, let's talk a little bit about you and your work. Do you want to just tell us what you actually do?
Okay. I work mainly supervising and counseling, programming, new strategies, intermedia, and events for radio, cable TV, and two open channels here.
Okay. Open channels, what do you mean by that?
What we have here is just like TV in Brazil has five main TV stations that are, you know, countrywide, and you don't have to pay to have their programming.
Right.
Like a commercial TV.
What we would treat as community television here, I think.
Commercial TV?
No, community. Community, not commercial. Community. Yep.
Kind of, kind of. But we don't really have the structure of community TV as you guys have it there.
Oh, don't you? I see. Okay.
No, it's just like what you expect when you come here and you turn on the TV and you see the programming. It's totally different of community, but in a sense, on the way of transmitting, it could be compared to community TV, yes.
Do you have any
radio? They are the most powerful and the most, you know, they are the most powerful on people's opinion manipulation, and they are very political. They are responsible for getting people in power and taking people out of power and all that kind of crap.
Amir, do you have any radio stations like Joy that's gay and lesbian?
Not at all. I was very very happy actually to come across you, and that's. I have to say hi to Heath that actually introduced me to the Joy FM, but there isn't.
Right.
There is no media communicating in the way you guys do in Brazil for the diversity community.
How much gay and lesbian content would you find on TV in Brazil?
None.
None?
Lesbian content, none. Especially because lesbians here are very discreet. And they don't really like fame. I had on one of our shows, we had last week, we had a gay writer, a lesbian writer, and the publisher of the first Latin American, lesbian publishing company. So they concentrate on only publishing romances and fiction written by lesbian to lesbians.
Okay.
And even the publisher herself told us on air that she had a problem to getting writers to be more expressive and explicit on their writings. So still for women here, liberate themselves is an inner issue.
So,
mainly because we are in Latin America and this is a very machist continent. So women still have a problem with that.
What did you say? It's a very what community?
Masochist. No?
Well, I wish they were more masochist. It would be more fun.
Do you mean macho community or more masculine? Is that what you mean? Is that what you're saying?
Masochist community, yeah. So it's just like women had been oppressed for quite a long time and they had a tendency to be more discreet.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, even the lesbian scene here, it's difficult for you to recognize where the bars are. They don't really have, open events, and they don't even welcome men.
Amir,
it's pretty radical on that point.
Amir, if you could sort of move on a little bit, because I want to actually talk about HIV in Brazil. Is it a huge problem, or is it under control?
Not really. The levels have been, like, education and treatment have been widely improved. And it was the first country in the world that actually started to show free treatment and still combats the corporate rights against medicines and is trying to And now the health minister here is trying to start to produce medicines for HIV here in Brazil, because we support very much HIV in Africa.
Mm.
And we send medicines to Africa a lot. But in concerning gay community here, the infection level is not that high anymore.
Right.
We are having an increase mainly on heterosexuals.
Right.
You know, and elderly.
And we're running out of, just very quickly, I want to touch on the skinheads and neo-Nazi group, just very briefly. There have been a lot of attacks in the southern part of Brazil. How has that come about?
Well, you see, it's just like São Paulo mainly. It's quite dangerous for gays walking on the streets, especially the effeminate, and especially when you have any sort of interaction display, sort of kissing and stuff.
Mm.
And there are neo-Nazis, which is completely odd to Brazil and ridiculous, because we are not a Caucasian country, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot say that we are Aryans enough to be neo-Nazis. But anyway, there is this kind of stuff, and it's not only against gays, but some batterings and some killings have happened. And it's strange, and it's another contradiction, because São Paulo is one of the modern cities in Brazil, one of the biggest cities in the world, and shows this sort of ignorance display. Because for me, somebody that gets so radical and fanatical about anything must be an ignorant and must have real good inner issues that should be resolved. Mm. But anyway, it happens. And but violence against homosexuals has diminished. If it were not by these guys, and that they mix themselves with skinheads and they make groups, and at certain points I think that unless is São Paulo's gay pride parade, one tourist from France was killed on a bar. Just by being in there, and because they wanted to show their point.
Right.
And but police combat that a lot.
Almir, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We want to thank you very, very much for talking to us. And if you ever come to Australia, please come to the studios and say hello.
And talk to us live, of course.
Well, it would be my pleasure. And again, guys, congratulations for the work you guys do.
Thank you.
I hope people listen to Joy with ears and also with hearts, because I've been listening and I've been propagating your link here.
That's wonderful.
spread the word in Brazil about us.
I do with pleasure.
Okay, well,
thank you again.
Count on me whenever you guys need to be here.
Okay, thank you very much, Almir. Good night.
Good night.
Joy 94.9.
Orange Ribbon Joycast. Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.